you know, we're really trying to start emphasizing communion more at Crossroads, something that, you know, church planting is full of lessons learned. It's something that we know we've learned that we have to do more of. I'm not talking an every week thing, but we certainly need to emphasize it more than we have. And so today's kind of an effort for us to really refocus on that. Like I said, there's a lot of different elements today that you'll see still coming in the service. It's a different service. It's a different message. One of the things one pastor said to me recently, he said, "Jeff, you know, I always feel like I'm cheating you if I don't give you a 30, 35-minute in-depth study of Scripture." And he said, "Jeff, you got to remember when you do communion, that is the message. That is the message, you know, what Jesus went through and what he did for us." So, you know, today's message is going to feel more like a devotional to set up the scene for what we're going to celebrate the rest of this time. I pray you'd allow this God to use this time to check your heart, to make sure that you're in a state where he would have you be to celebrate at his table today. Would you open your Bibles with me to Matthew 26? If you got a Bible today, I'd really like you to follow along in your Bible as opposed to the screen if possible. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. If you need any, Tracy's over there. She'll raise your hand. She'll throw you a Bible. There you go. Well, not throw you a Bible. She'll hand you one, pass one back, something like that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 46. Matthew 26, 36 to 46. If you got it, say, "I've got it." All right. The setting's the Garden of Gethsemane. The time period is moments before Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, and unfairly tried and convicted to die. Now, each of the three synoptic gospels, the three synoptic gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each of those gospels have an account of the Garden of Gethsemane. But Matthew's account is the fullest account. See, what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane for Matthew was very, very important. Friends, for us, what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane should be very, very important. To read along with me as we read God's Word. Matthew 26, verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. "Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, then may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away once more. And he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." You know, I think sometimes it's tempting to read that passage and assume that because Jesus was fully God when he was on this earth, that it's really not quite as big of a deal for him to go through what he went through for us. I know we don't want to think that intentionally, but I think subconsciously we find ourselves thinking that. This passage shows us that what Jesus was facing was horrifying. It was devastating. We tend to look at just the physical pain of the crucifixion, but what Jesus knew was he would be separate from his Father. He had existed for eternity in perfect harmony with his Father, and he knew that taking the sin of the world upon his shoulders would create him. He would become sin for all of us in here who are sinners. And he would take the wrath of God on his shoulders. He would be separated from his Father. This was a horrifying, horrifying thought, one that would cause him to hit his knees 3 times with his face in the dirt, crying out to God, "If there is another way to save human beings, then Father, let it happen. but if not, then your will be done. Friends, this was the prayer of someone who was facing the wrath of God, the wrath of Almighty God for the sin of the world. You know, I want you to take a look at the scene from the Passion of the Christ. I think it powerfully portrays how agonizing this moment was in the life of Jesus. The question he needed to answer was it really worth what he would have to go through to give you and I a chance for salvation? You know, it's an incredibly powerful scene. It's right in the beginning of the movie, and it's an incredibly powerful event in the life of Jesus. But what I think makes it even more powerful is what you read right beneath this in your Bibles. We tend, you know, most of our Bibles divide up into paragraphs. But what comes beneath it, I think, makes what you just saw and what you read even more powerful. I want you to read along with me in Matthew chapter 26 now, verses 47 to 54. Because only Matthew, guys, records a very interesting statement made by Jesus during his arrest and betrayal by Judas just moments later. What we're about to read is just moments after the event that we just read and saw on screen here. Read along with me. Verses 47 to 54. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him with a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword." Verse 53, circle it. Watch what Jesus says here. The same God, the same man who was on his face in the dirt asking the Father that if there was any other way to let this pass, has the confidence to say this in verse 53. "Do you think that I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Did you catch that? Earlier, Jesus is hitting his face and knees and crying out to the Father three different times, "God, if there's any other way, if there's any other way, then let it happen. But not my will, but yours be done." Moments later, he has the confidence to be able to say, "Don't you know that I could call on 12 legions of angels and the Father would send him and we'd end this right like that?" But the problem was that would get Jesus out of what he would face, but it couldn't save our souls. I think it makes that passage even more powerful that he would have that kind of confidence to be able to say that this doesn't need to happen, but it needs to happen if people are going to be with me for eternity. Friends, Jesus' death didn't occur because of the scheming of human beings. Jesus' death occurred because it was a sovereign will of Almighty God that he would be the sin bearer for your sins and mine. This was God's plan to send him to the cross. You know, sometimes it's good for us to be reminded of what Jesus went through. This is the second warning for parents with kids in here. We're going to watch a scene right now from the crucifixion. If you do not want your child to see this, please cover their eyes. But I want you to take a look, because sometimes we need to be reminded of what Jesus went through for us. You know, that was the cost of our sins. That was the cost for our sins. 2 points I want us to reflect on as we head into communion today. The first one is the indescribable cost of our sins. Sometimes it's hard to hate our sin. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we tolerate it in our lives. But that was the cost for our sins. You know, we can't hate our sin, guys, unless we realize what it cost our God. It sent Jesus to the cross. Our sin still hurts God. You know, just this week, I had one of those weeks. You know, one of those weeks where you just feel like you did a lot of things that just don't make a lot of sense with God, a lot of things that are sinful in God's eyes. And felt like God convicted me throughout the week. And Friday morning, I journaled for the first time in about a year. I wrote down, God, I feel like you're convicting me about envy, pride, and control. Wow, those are great. And you know, I committed, God, I want to repent. I don't want to keep doing this stuff, Father. But you know what's interesting is that it wasn't until Friday afternoon when I was sitting there looking, getting ready with those clips for today that God really laid me out about my sin. And that Sherry and the kids happened to not be at the home at the time, which I don't think was a coincidence. And I just spent the next 10 minutes just crying, saying, God, it was my sin that sent you to the cross. Not the world's. Not everyone else in here, but it was my sin. And I'm sorry, Father. I don't want to keep intolerating sin. I don't want to keep allowing that to have grip on me. I want it gone. I want to deal with it because my sin hurts you. Second thing that I want you to reflect on during our time together is while the cost for our sin is indescribable, I also want you to reflect on the indescribable love that God showed in his willingness to pay it anyway. Reflect on that he was willing to pay it anyway. How much must he love you and I to be willing to do that? To send his son to bear the sins of the world upon his shoulders, to take the wrath of God upon him. For when we see Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? You have to understand what is happening is he was bearing the sin, the penalty for sin of the world. And the Father was essentially turning his back on him and saying, it's the only way. It's the only way that people that were sitting in Crossroads Community Church 2,000 plus years later, it's the only way that they could be in heaven with me someday. Son, it's got to happen. How much do you think a God like that must love us? For God's love is big enough to cover anything you've done in your life. Anything that you're battling right now. If God's for us, who could be against us? You know, I want you to realize something today. Jesus was driven. He was driven to the cross out of love for you. He was driven to the cross out of love for you. In fact, you know what? I want to say that this morning. I want to say it as a church, but I want you to substitute me. I want you to make it personal. I want you to say, Jesus was driven to the cross out of love for me. Say that, would you? Jesus was driven to the cross out of love for me. For me personally. You know, Christ followers, seekers in here, no matter where we're at, we need to be reminded of the cost of our sin. We need to be renewed sometimes in our love for God. We need to be convicted that sin can't be allowed its place in our life to continue to infect and destroy our lives. But we also need to be reminded of God's incredible love for us. That his love is big enough to cover all our sin. That's why it's called love. That's why God has extended grace to us that you and I could never earn on our own. Don't forget that this morning. You know, I think there's some people in here today, you're beating yourself up because you feel like you've made mistakes in the past and there is no hope for you. But a God who must love you that much, tell me there's no hope for you. Tell me he ever gives up on you. He doesn't give up on you. And then there are people in here today as well who are still seeking what a relationship with Christ looks like. You've been running and you've been continually walking out of here after week saying, you know what? This just isn't for me because you're afraid. So many of you are afraid that Jesus is going to take your life and make it miserable. Do you think a God who would do that is trying to take your life away from you? And yet when you leave here, you're willing to go out of here knowing that if something happens to you, you will not be with him for eternity. You will not take advantage of what he did on the cross for you. I just talked to a guy this week, highlight of my week this week. He said, you know, Jeff, I've sat there and listened to you say, you're never going to be able to fill the void in your heart apart from Christ. He said, I listened to that for a long period of time. He said, I finally just realized that that's the truth. I can't fill that in my life without Jesus. And he gave his life to Christ 2 weeks ago. Today, if you're seeking in here and you want to know, and you don't, please, if your heart's pounding and something's going on, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God saying you need Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you have not made that commitment to Jesus, you can have that today, but it requires you admitting that you can't do it anymore on your own. That you can't fill the void in your heart anymore. There's no way to do it on your own. That Jesus did come and die on the cross to pay for your sin. Your sin. Not the sin of the person next to you only. Not my sin only, but your sin as well. But the great news is that the Bible said that because he did come and die on the cross for our sins and pay that price for us, we can know that if we're willing, if we place our trust solely in what he did on that cross, we repent of doing life apart from him and we say we're going to do it with him. And we make that commitment in our heart of hearts, we can know we're going to be in eternity with him forever. I don't know about you, but I know I want that. If that's what you want, would you bow your head and pray this morning with me? You can pray in the silence of your heart. Make it your own prayer. Lord Jesus, my sin has messed me up. My sin sent you to that cross. I'm sorry, Jesus. I repent today of doing life without you, thinking I don't need you. And today I want to start doing life with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And so today I want to ask you to come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior. I place my trust only in you. And I commit to follow you as best I know how. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if that's the first time you prayed that prayer, on the back of your tear-off panel in your bulletin, I want you to take that out this morning. And I want you to write your name on the front with your contact information. I just want you to take the back. And in the prayer request section, I want you to write, today is my day. Today is my day. And turn that in, and we'd love to call you this week and encourage you in your walk. You know, some of you as Christ followers today, during this time of preparation for communion, it's a good time for you to make a recommitment to God. That's time to do it his way. I promise you, he ain't gone anywhere. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He loves you. You could never do anything to earn his love. And he doesn't love you any less than that he's always loved you the same. I want you to remember that this morning. So here's what we're going to do for communion today. I'm going to share a few words about communion after this, but what we're going to do today is very different. We're not going to pass communion around. What we're going to do is we're going to enjoy a few minutes of silence, something we don't do here at this church. Don't check out on me. I know it's kind of a natural break in the message here, but we're going to enjoy a few minutes of silence, just absolute silence in here and allow God to search our hearts this morning. No music, no nothing, okay? And then after that, what we're going to do is I'll get up, and I'm going to come up to a table here, and I'll serve myself communion, okay? And then what I would invite you to do is once I come up, we need a couple other people to go to each of the tables. Once God moves you to, serve yourself communion. But once you've served yourself communion today, you're not just going to sit down because we do life together as a church here, right? We're a church family. So what we're going to do today is we're going to serve one another. And so what you're going to do today, if you come forward, is then after you're done receiving communion today, what you're going to do is you're going to serve the next person that comes up. Okay? So what we'd would like you to do is take the bread and the juice, which you start with the bread if you want. And what you're going to do is you're going to look in the eyes of the person coming up, and you're just going to take the bread, and you're going to say, the body of Christ broken for you. Now, we're not a church that believes that Jesus becomes physically present in the bread or the juice, but we do believe Jesus is spiritually present when we celebrate the Lord's Supper together. So we're going to have the music, Zach and Brenda and the team are going to be singing some songs, but we're going to have it lower, and we're going to give you a chance to be able to look in each other's eyes and celebrate communion together. You know what? If you want to come up here and you want to serve your spouse, what a beautiful thing that would be today. You want to serve your child, why don't you do that today? If your child has a relationship with Christ, you go right ahead and do that. But today, make this a time where we're serving one another, okay? And after you serve somebody, then you go ahead and sit down and use the time to reflect on what God has done for you. You know, in terms of our preparation time for communion, the first thing is we have an open communion table here if you have a relationship with Christ. And listen, if you just prayed to receive Christ today, you are welcome to take part in this today with us. We would love for you to do that. We would love for you to take part, and we'd love for today to be the first time that you celebrated that, the Lord's Supper, as a Christ follower. You know, the Bible does say this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 through verse 29. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Listen, so many of you have told me that when we read that, you just go, you know what? It causes you to really wonder if you have made your commitment to Jesus or not. And that's a good thing. What I would tell you is that if you've just prayed that prayer that we talked about, made a commitment in your heart, you can know that you are worthy to go ahead and receive the Lord's Supper. Even if you passed up the opportunity before, you can still pray in the silence of your heart to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But there's other ways in which you determine whether or not you're in a good spot to take the Lord's Supper. We'll leave that between you and God right now. But right now we're gonna just take some time of silence. I'd ask you to just allow God to search your heart and allow this to be a time where that's very meaningful for you. I'll get up and start communion in a little bit, and then we just need a few people to spread out once you come up, and we'll serve one another. I know the rows are long. You know what? We climb over each other for movies. Let's do it in the name of the Lord today, okay? Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to celebrate your supper today, to celebrate at your table. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would use the silence, the music, the fellowship, the serving of one another, God, to remind us of what you did. God, celebrating communion, the Lord's Supper, Lord, it is our chance to proclaim what you did for us. It is the chance to proclaim that we are beneficiaries of your death if we have trusted you with our life as our Lord and Savior. And it is a chance for us to remember what you went through because you love us. Father, would you let this be a time where your Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us? In Jesus' name, amen.